Alright, so that was obviously Rebel Rebel by David Bowie. If you don't know it, maybe you should just learn music. I feel like I don't need to introduce that one. Also, before I forget, I do need to say within the next 10 seconds, you are listening to WMFO, Tufts Reform Radio. Yeah, and this show is Slightly Medium, which is presented to you by my co-host Spanky Delight and myself, the Funkistador.
Hello, hello.
Why, hello, hello, hello. So we're going to be maybe on a little bit of a 70s theme tonight. A little bit of a throwback, a retro, or to those people who never got out of the 70s, your modern day and age. So this next one is also by David Bowie. So this is Space Oddity by David Bowie. Again, another classic. Another classic.
Control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2, check ignition, 1. And may God's love lift be off with you. Capsule.
Okay, so that was Space Oddity by David Bowie, the song that really put that man on the map, well before he became very confusingly strange. I still am not really sure how he became what he became, because he was apparently a non-gendered alien from Mars, and so that's pretty wild and pretty out there, like really out there. And this next song that I'm going to play is also out there, because it's Lola by The Kinks, which is about men who are women. And you don't know, then that came around because actually a crazy story behind this song is their manager went to a bar one night with them and started dancing with this girl. But this girl was not born a lady. And he didn't notice until he saw the scruff and then was like, oops. And then The Kinks made this song. So this next song will be Lola by The Kinks, but we're not quite there yet because we got in some interesting discussion during the last song.
Yeah. How do we even get to there? We were talking about some controversial topics.
Yes.
And, you know, college is all about critical thinking. It's all about asking those tough, hard-to-answer questions. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking through all the played through, oh, is a hot dog a sandwich? We've been there. We know this.
We all know it's not.
Well, we'll get to that another time, I guess. It's clearly not as sealed away as I thought. But more importantly, and this is to the viewers, but mostly to my partner here, is a Pop-Tart the same as a calzone?
And I say no, because a Pop-Tart's a tart, which is a type of pastry dessert / breakfast dessert, because I believe in breakfast desserts. And a tart is clearly a pastry, whereas a calzone is like a dinner meal.
A dinner meal.
And I don't think you're a pastry.
What if I've had my calzones for breakfast?
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be concerned about your health.
You just have your little leftover calzone.
That's definitely not a good call.
It's like pizza.
You don't eat pizza for breakfast either. It's not a traditional breakfast food.
Wow, you're really letting down the breakfast. You're really letting down breakfast all over the world. There's some good breakfast out there.
Yeah, and pizza's not a breakfast.
Oh, it's a breakfast. If
it's
you
a lunch.
Breakfast.
It's a dinner. It's a late night food. Like, you
some
know,
cold yeah. pizza that wakes you right up.
It's gross. No
some leftover.
Cold pizza's the worst.
Oh my gosh! I don't know if I even trust your judgment on the next.
So many
one.
People are like, "Oh, cold pizza! Like, I don't like it."
Oh. You let me down.
Although I will agree with your other point if you want to get to that one.
Oh, more importantly, on the topic of calzones, would a ravioli fit into that category as well?
See, that one's closer because it's cheese wrapped in dough the same way that a calzone traditionally is.
Well, what about like gyoza or just a regular standard dumpling? That's pretty much like the ravioli of their respective countries.
That's the yeah. I agree.
There's no tomato sauce in there.
I know. Well, there's technically not tomato sauce in the ravioli either, but like it's on it, so it counts.
Okay. Yeah, there's not really a
I feel
cheesy
like it's
dumpling.
I'd call dumplings like a cousin.
They're cousins. Yeah, there's a huge
because
family
it
tree
is
here.
Wrapped. It's dough wrapped around something. It's like the same concept. Yeah. And it's kind of the same like meal category of a
and you get your pierogies.
Yeah, exactly.
All those good doughy wraps. All right, I'll believe it.
Okay. Anyways, for a song about lady men, this is Lola by the Kinks.
The muddled up, mixed up world.
I met her in a club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like Coca-Cola. Cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola. L-O-L-A Lola. La 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 Lola. Well, I'm not the world's most physical guy. Why don't you squeeze me tight?
Okay, so that was Lola by the Kinks. Should we do our public service announcement now? Are you prepared to do it? Or would you like to wait for the midway point of our show?
Let's wait for that midway point.
Okay, okay. We want people to remember it after we're off the air. That's true. Yeah. We want people to stay safe.
I want it to really resonate with these young folks.
Yes, we need a public safety announcement to increase the safety of this campus. Anyways, this next song is one by another artist who's from the 70s, because the theme is the 70s. That was really redundant.
That was really well done.
Yeah, thank you. I know. I'm really gifted on the radio. It's like, you know, me and Ryan Seacrest, but what can I say? Yeah. This one is Tiny Dancer by Elton John. A heart wrencher, a beautiful song, a great artist who's unfortunately retiring. And there's a movie that's going to come out about him soon, which is kind of cool, by the same guy who directed Bohemian Rhapsody, actually. It's going to be very different, I think, and pretty similar at the same time. Should be good. The main actor is great. He's the kid from Kingsman. He's cool. Anyways, I don't know
who's playing him.
Yeah,
that is hysterical. I love it.
He's great. One of the best actors around, I think. He's very charismatic.
Yeah,
he's great.
They must have met on set in Kingsman 2.
What?
Because they had Elton John in Kingsman.
Yeah, yeah. Too. That's I think that's part of the reason why I chose him. But the kid can also sing. Like in the movie, sing.
Oh, really?
He plays the gorilla, and he actually sings all his songs, and he has a great voice. So he actually can sing. So that definitely helps his role in the movie.
No kidding.
Because like we saw, if you watched the Oscars tonight, like I did, you see Bradley Cooper sing from A Star Is Born.
Oh yeah.
And he's awful.
Yeah.
He's terrible. He's like, do y'all like the way the world is tonight? And I'm like, I don't know what you're going for. Maybe a country star thing, but like he just doesn't have the pipes, you know?
No, it's some people got it, some people don't.
Some people got it, some don't. And also, like, I feel like he could have done a little bit more to not sound completely flat, but I shouldn't be too critical on air. I feel like I'm being a jerk.
Well, there's a reason he brought in Lady Gaga.
It's true. She's a terrific musician.
Yeah. Someone definitely with some actual pipes.
Carries whatever weight. I mean, she's definitely talented. All right. So anyways, this next song is Tiny Dancer by Elton John. Free out in the street. Okay, so that's that was Tiny Dancer by Elton John, which was a great song. Anyways, we were just having a conversation about movies, which is a true passion of mine, to be honest.
This absolutely blew my mind. Please.
Anyways, and so what we were talking about is how, like I think the Marvel movies and what Marvel's done is, like, incredible. They created an entire universe of, like, 30 films and gotten everybody to watch, like, all 30 of them and made them interconnected, but at the same time independent enough where you can watch them individually, which is impressive. But I don't think, like, they're as impressive as people say they are. Like the overall scheme is impressive, but the individual movies are just, like, another summer blockbuster. Like, the last Spider-Man had, like, a 92% of Rotten Tomatoes. Everyone talked about how great it was. But it's not, like, artistic. It's not, like, a societal statement. It's just kind of, like, a movie that's, like, you can overcome. If you work hard, you'll beat the bad guy. Like, that type of stuff. It's very cliche, generic plot with just some witty...
It's tired.
It's just witty dialogue. And every single... I also feel like the other thing is every single Marvel character is getting to be... the same almost. Like, all of them are witty and goofy, and like, it's like, oh, I saved the world and a lot of people died, but let me quip a real quick joke right here. Every single one of them. And it's like, some of them can be a little more serious. Like, they don't have that variety. But the thing is, like, I was talking, it's like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies are, like, actually artistic, and, like, specifically the second one, The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Which, like, I didn't even know it was him for years because he just looks so different in the movie. He looks nuts with his makeup and everything. You can't even recognize him, and he's just so good in it. And like the rest of the movie, it's like this, like, dark statement about, like, society and humanity, about how, like, we aren't good. Where it's like the Joker trying to make this statement the whole movie, how we aren't good, how when the cards are on the table and everything's falling apart, we're selfish and evil and just will rip each other to shreds. And the movie kind of shows otherwise, but, like, in this very, like, dark way where it's, like, we almost do it. Like, in the movie, the characters almost do that. Society almost does, like, kill itself and kill everybody else in an attempt to save itself, and they, like, don't just because, like they want to, but, like, they have something intrinsically holding them back, and that's kind of, like, the whole statement of the movie is, like, there is something about us. Like even Batman. Batman's, like, this character who... he does illegal things, and he's, like, not a good person, essentially. Like, he's a great person, but he's flawed. And, like, that's the whole point is, like, we're, like, awful and terrible, but we can do good anyways. And, like, but you look at the movie, too, and it's, like, it's the way it's filmed. It's, like, I was watching it with my friend, and it was, like, oh, like, so they were, like, oh, Batman, like, the Joker doesn't have a plan the entire movie. He just wants to watch everything burn, but I'm, like, you have to watch it again because you clearly missed a lot. Because, like, everything he does is, like, meticulously planned. Like, he's in jail, but he had, like, Harvey Dent and Rachel, which is played by Maggie Gyllenhaal, like, kidnapped and, like, in these locations, and he breaks out, and he had, like, his breakout planned in advance where there's, like, a bomb in someone's stomach that he calls, and it's, like, he knew he was going to end up there in that moment, and he wanted to end up there in that moment, but when he talks and the way he acts is so sporadic that it makes you think, oh, I have nothing planned, but it's, like, everything's planned. It's this whole, like, and it's, like, everything's planned, but he never explicitly tells you everything's planned, or he never says this is part of the plan. He's always saying that I'm doing things that are against the plan, but really it's his own plan. Like, there's never no plan. It's like, even when you're going against the plan of everybody else, you still have your own plan. And it's just, like, incredibly well done. And it's like, they tell the story without the, like, if you watch the movie, it's not driven by dialogue, it's driven by action, which also I think is something that a lot of movies don't do anymore. Now it's like they go on stage and it's, or on the set, and it's like, oh, I'm taking over the world because of this, or I'm doing this because so-and-so hurt me. And it's like, they almost act like the audience is too stupid to know why the bad guy's doing what he's doing, when you can always kind of figure it out. I feel like maybe some people can't because they are maybe a little too, but like, I feel like it's like Hemingway had this theory of writing, and I feel like it should probably carry over to movies more, is that if you know something and the cast, or if like the author and the audience that he's writing to both know something, it doesn't need to be said. So like, if you ever read one of his books, 90% of what happens, it goes unsaid. Like, you knew, like, if you read The Sun Also Rises, the main character is in love with this girl, but they never actually say to each other that they're in love, but you can tell by the way they act towards each other, and you can tell by the way that they speak to each other, because the dialogue is different with each other than other characters. And you can pick up those cues in a movie probably even easier. And I feel like they need to rely on their audience to pick up on those cues more, because it makes a better movie. Whereas Marvel, it's just like, hey. Yeah.
And what really blew my mind is just the fact that both The Dark Knight and Iron Man came out the same year.
Yeah.
And that is two vastly different takes on
superheroes.
On superheroes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
in almost every conceivable way.
Mm-hmm.
They're both like identical in personas.
They're literally identical superheroes. They're both playboy billionaires who have armory companies and create a suit to help them fight crime.
But all of a sudden, the whole takes on how you interact with society, how you interact with your villains, how the villains interact with everything, vastly different. And it speaks volumes. Mm. And it's really amazing to it's almost not even fair to compare the two.
No, it's like one's a, like, the Marvel movies are superhero movies. Batman was just a movie. Like the Batman movie, the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. Granted, when you have Christopher Nolan make a movie, it's probably going to come out pretty good.
Oh, I love him so much.
Anyways, that's my take. The other thing too is like there's a scene that really, like, I saw this on a video that really like tells you the whole thing about like the Joker in that movie. And explicitly, there's a scene where he has like Harvey Dent like has like a gun in his hand, and he's holding the trigger, and he's like, "Oh, we're going to flip a coin for it." He's like, "Ooh, chance, I like it." But and it's like, and the Joker's like, "Ooh, I like a little chance, right?" And like, you see this throughout the movie. Like, there's a scene where I get really, once I get going on something, I get going, especially when it's movies, because I love movies and I love a good story. And there's a scene where Batman's like riding at the Joker, and he's like, "Come on, hit me." And he's like acting like he wants to be hit, but he knows the Batman's not going to do it. So a scene when the Joker, when Two-Face flips the coin, and if it lands on one side, he pulls the trigger. If not, it's the other side. The entire time, the Joker had his thumb on the hammer, so even if the guy pulled the trigger, nothing would have happened. He had everything that he was going to do figured out before he did it. He just pretended not to. It's brilliant. Like, it's like little things.
Yeah. He had it all planned out.
Also, it's just a freaky movie. Like, the Joker, he's super creepy.
Yeah. He literally took it above and beyond the Call of Duty.
Maybe a little too far.
Probably too far.
All right. Okay. Okay. Well, anyways, that was my little movie rant because it's Oscar season. Oscar day, Oscar night.
Oscar night just gets you all fired up.
The other thing too is like they had like Black Panther nominated for all this stuff, and like what it represents culturally is big, but it's a very mediocre movie when you really look at it, like in a lot of ways. It's entertaining just like any other Marvel movie, but it has the same exact drawbacks. So anyways, gets me heated.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Cut to some more music.
Anyways, yes, let's get it, Barry Marie. This is Shooting Star by Bad Company, a staple of the past, and not one that not many people listen to today.
Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. Me do, I think it was, and from there it didn't take him long. Got himself a guitar, used to play every night. Now he's in a rock and roll outfit and everything's alright. Don't you know? Johnny told his mama, "Hey mama, I'm going away. I'm gonna hit the big time, gonna be a big star someday." Yeah. Mama came to the door with a teardrop in her eye. Johnny said, "Don't cry, Mama." Smiled and waved goodbye. Don't you know? To number one. Suddenly everyone loved to hear him sing a song. Watching the world go by, surprising it goes so fast. Johnny looked around him and said, "Well, I made the big time at last." Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know that you are? Just
tablets by his head. Johnny's life passed him by like a warm summer day. If you listen to the wind, you can still hear him play.
Okay, so that was Shooting Star by Bad Company. We have to do our PSA now because it's a little past halfway through the show, so we're a little late on when we wanted to do it. We're still doing it, obviously. We believe in the safety of the people. We are people of the people, if you will. This one's for y'all, so please don't stop listening during this because y'all need to be safe out there.
Yeah, this is for you guys.
Toodaloo, 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 toodaloo. Doorknobs, restrooms, telephones, keyboards, other people. What do these things have in common? They're all easy ways for you to pick up or pass along germs. Germs that could lead to colds and flu. Now, you can't spend your days avoiding contact with everything, but you can take a few important steps to protect yourself. Washing your hands is one of the best and easiest ways to avoid catching or spreading colds and the flu. Keeping your hands and the surfaces you touch clean protects not only you, it also protects those around you. A few extra minutes a day is all it takes to put your health first. For more on avoiding the flu, talk to your doctor, or visit massmed.org and click Your Health First. This public message is brought to you by Massachusetts Medical Society.
Wow, that was...
Thank you, announcer man, that was really nice of you.
Yeah, I really appreciate how we have a non-existent third individual in this booth to read announcements. I hear it's the spirit of a student from the 1930s and 40s who came here.
Yeah. And the flu was just as bad back then as it was today.
More dangerous, actually. Probably a little more dangerous.
Probably a little more dangerous.
But yeah, he actually read it. You can see him. He sits in the corner. He has like a one of those old-timey microphones with like the coils coming off the sides, yeah, yeah. You know? And it's like
flat. He brings his own mic.
He's really...
We tell him we got new ones in the studio. He doesn't...
He's committed to the... He's committed to his thing, you know?
Yeah, he's got committed. His shtick all planned out.
Exactly. He is who he is. Spooky though. Spooky. He's your friendly neighborhood ghost, like Casper. You know? He doesn't leave the building though. It's dangerous for him outside. Some people aren't as friendly to ghosts as we are.
Yeah. Your average radio hostman is
a little terrified of them. A little scared. But ghosts, yeah, they're a little spooky. Or spoopy, as some would say. Some spoopy ghosts out there.
Quite.
You know? But it's really like if we just calm down, give them a chance, you know, your friendly ghoul. Yeah. You know? Like not all the ghosts are bad. Anyways, This next song is once again from the 70s, seeing as we have our theme and we're sticking to it because we are committed individuals. This is one of my favorite Stevie Wonder songs. Actually, probably my favorite Stevie Wonder song. It was one of his only songs. It went number one in the UK for like a record amount of time when it came out. One of his many songs to go number one. He had a lot of them. He was a pretty impressive career. So this song is Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder. Okay, so that was Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder, which is an album called Songs in the Key of Life, which I feel like is a fitting name for the album because it's just such happy music. Like you want to move and groove and sing along and dance. And that song's actually like an ode by Stevie Wonder to all of his past icons, which is pretty cool. So Sir Duke is Duke Ellington. He speaks about Ella Fitzgerald. He speaks about Satchmo, which is Louis Armstrong. So it's a cool song. And it's very happy. It's a very happy song. A song that makes you happy. Not enough of those songs. Not enough
happy
songs.
Can't say anything more about it. That's really how I was feeling. I was tapping my toe, just jumping around.
Happy. It's beyond happy. It's joyous.
It's
joyous. I feel like joyous is a better word.
Bombastic.
Yeah. Okay, anyways, this next song, I don't know if bombastic's that. I feel like bombastic's more like Bob Marley. I feel like he's more bombastic, you know. Anyways, this next song is not John Denver's best song, but his most famous song, because some people in West Virginia are obsessed with it. I mean, it's good. It's good, but it's definitely not his best.
And perhaps because one or two from Missouri.
Yeah, some random kid from Missouri that we do or do not know. We will. The jury's out. But this is a good song. So this is Take Me Home, Country Roads by John Denver.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, around her, miner's lady, stranger to blue water, dark and dusty, painted on the sky, misty taste moonshine, teardrops in my eyes, country road.
So that was Take Me Home, Country Roads, a classic, but again, like I said, not his best song in my opinion. But interestingly enough about that song is he's like, I want to go home to West Virginia, but he had never even been to West Virginia when he recorded that song. So that was one of the few songs that he didn't like write on his own. He was a great songwriter. But that one, somebody came to him with the lyrics, and he wrote most of them, a lot of the music for it. But like those first few lyrics, he didn't write, and he had never been to West Virginia. He wasn't from West Virginia. He had never been there, lived there, anything. He said he had never stepped foot in that state when he wrote that song. And then, you know, it became huge. And then he kind of had to go to West Virginia at that point, because the only state that he's more tied to than West Virginia is Colorado. I mean, he's actually, interestingly enough, until he died, he was the poet laureate of the state.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like how Maya Angelou was like the poet laureate of America. He was the poet laureate of Colorado. Honestly, like Maya Angelou's cool, but that one's probably a little cooler.
Yeah.
because that man rocked. Anyways, this next song is Layla. So here's Layla. Okay, so that was most of Layla. It's a long song. The lyrics end at 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and there's another 4.5 minutes. So there's actually still like another 3 minutes of the song, but
such is the 70s,
and our time here is actually coming quite to a close pretty soon. Before we go though, I do think we should remind you to be careful of those germs.
Yeah,
they're everywhere. Silent killers.
I came down with the flu all last week.
I had a stomach bug. It was bad. It was bad. Yeah, 24 hours.
Wash your hands, guys.
Wash your hands, especially after you go to the bathroom, please. That's also just for other people. Like, I don't want to shake your hand after you didn't wash them. It's gross.
No one needs that.
So out of respect for all those people out there, please wash your hands. Anyways, so this mighty fine hour from 11 to midnight, not quite the witching hour. Not even quite the next day, actually.
Couldn't quite sing that one.
It's not quite tomorrow, but it is today. But we're getting pretty close to tomorrow, so today is almost over. Anyways, at the end of today, I will be one of the last people you hear, so that's a blessing if you ask me. Anyways, I do want to say before I close off that Ryan Seacrest, America's Sweetheart, I'm coming for you and your position as America's Sweetheart. You've had it long enough. I feel like it's time to hand it over to a young college kid who doesn't really know what he's doing yet on this general thing. Because I'm really just kind of winging it.
Really? We couldn't notice.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what I'm doing right now, actually. I have to do something. There's so much going on.
Oh,
I have to set
technology to work with here.
Oh, there's so much. This booth is crazy. Anyways, it's 11:59. My time here is up in 53 seconds, 52, 51. So anyways, I can't keep counting the seconds. That'd be ridiculous. I hope everyone has a terrific night and sleeps mighty fine and mighty well. And I hope you all enjoyed the Oscars and anything else that you had going tonight. To those few people who listened, I thank you very much. To those people who listen in tomorrow or whenever on the replay thing, thank you too. And to anybody who didn't listen and tells me you do, you guys are the worst. Anyways, thank you very much. This has been Spanky Delights and the Funkistador on WMFO. It's been groovy, y'all.
All right, take care, everyone.
Adios.
Adios.